Sportscast, October 3rd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This show is brought to you by 12-1 Training. If you want to get in shape for Christmas, go to 12-1 Training. The Alabama Crimson Tide blew past Ole Miss on Saturday, 59-31, after a relatively slow start to the game. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Bama is Justin Riley. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Enjoying the bye week for Alabama as well.
Probably one of the probably the toughest opponent so far, and able to score 31 points on Bama. What were your thoughts about the match?
Yeah, definitely one of the tougher opponents we've had. And I mean, not to take anything away from South Carolina, but Ole Miss definitely came to play. And like you said earlier, you know, right after that that long pass play to Devonta Smith for the initial 7 points, things just tended to slow down. And Ole Miss seemingly started taking control a little bit. So kind of took Alabama a while to get going. And it looked to me like they just didn't have an answer for a very basic offense that Ole Miss was calling. You know, Reese Rodriguez wasn't doing anything that was, you know, mind-blowing or hard to comprehend. It was just basically a lot of draw plays, mostly the quarterback running draw or run plays from the quarterback to the right to the left. But somehow Alabama couldn't come up with a way to stop all that. So they were able to rack up some yards. I tell you what, Ole Miss's quarterback, John Reese Plumlee, was on a showcase to everybody, kind of a coming-out party. Very talented kid, very gutsy. If you watched the game, you would have seen that he actually tried to hurdle some defenders at one point and was actually successful. But you typically don't want your quarterback making decisions like that. But nonetheless, he just showed a lot of grit, a lot of toughness doing that, and just taking a lot of bumps and bruises trying to motivate his offense. But he should be a good one for years to come. So be watching that. We might have a little bit of a quarterback battle with him and Matt Corral once Corral comes back from injury. But, yeah, I'll kind of start off with negatives and lead to positive. The score might not indicate it somewhat, but the defense gave up nearly 500 yards of total offense. Again, the defense is just having a hard time getting together and establishing a rhythm, and that's mainly because we were playing a lot of young folks. You know, I say it week after week, 5 freshmen starting, and yeah, you know, it just takes a while for these kids, and I do mean kids. You're looking at 18 and 19 year olds playing on very key roles. It just takes a long time for them just to really get used to things, adapt, and really be able to make good reactions and good first moves. A lot of times they are found out of position. But there were times where they did get together, and then Alabama was able to get going in a really good rhythm, especially defensively. Xavier McKinney had a really good game. He had 13 tackles. Anthony Jennings had 9 tackles. Raekwon Davis had 8. Xavier McKinney actually now leads the SEC in tackles with 41. He's actually becoming the face of the defense right now, because he really is kind of being the glue that's holding everything together, and it's really taking these young guys and trying to teach them and just help them to grow. But offensively, man, there was a whole lot of that. Tua Tagovailoa, for the 3rd game in a row, passed for 5 touchdowns. He actually passed for 6. He was 26 of 36 for 418 yards, 6 touchdowns. The star of the show, which was really surprising, was not Jerry Jeudy, was not Jalen Waddle, was not Henry Ruggs. It was Devonta Smith. Had 11 receptions for school record 274 yards and 5 touchdowns. Matter of fact, he caught almost all of the offensive touchdowns. Now, a late touchdown by Miller Forrestall late, but it was the Devonta Smith show. pretty incredible. It's just really incredible to see what Alabama is able to do offensively with this dynamic group of wide receivers. And like I've said over and over again, if one guy gets stopped or another guy gets stopped, someone's going to step up. It's kind of funny as everybody's talking about the whole rock, paper, scissor thing. It kind of is that. It's like which wide receiver or his turn is it this week to have a big game? Well, Devontae was the man this time. Didn't do a whole lot as far as running the ball because we spent a lot of time passing the ball, but when we did run the ball, we were very effective. The offensive line was playing a lot better. They actually dominated up front, dominated the line of scrimmage for the majority of the game, and it was kind of surprising because Ole Miss actually, their strong suit on defense was their front seven, but they were able to control things pretty easily up front. So kudos for the improvement there. Love to see that. Another thing that stood out to me, Alabama scored his first non-offensive touchdown with a blocked punt by Ale Kaho, who actually picked it up and scored. Another thing that really stood out to me, I mean, just these are just a few takeaways, I mean, from a blowout win. But punting for Alabama is still an issue. Skylar DeLong actually increased his average by 1 yard. Now he's averaging 30 yards per punt, which is not good at all. Matter of fact, Alabama ranks 128th out of 130 teams nationally in punting. So there has got to be some growth there. Got to have some change, man, because there's going to come a time where field position is so key. As you know, we're going to start playing the tougher opponents here coming up soon, A&M at Kyle Field. And then not too long after that, we'll have LSU. Eventually, we'll have Auburn. So we got some things that we've got to correct. So, but those were my main takeaways from the game Saturday. Like I said, it was a blowout. Of course, Nick Saban is not going to be too happy about the points scored late. Of course, you never want to do that. But Alabama was able to control the game with relative ease once they were able to kind of get out of their funk. But overall, offensively, looked great. Defensively, still a lot of work to do, and I'm telling myself this too. We just have to be very patient with these young guys. Eventually, it's going to click, but right now it looks like we're just going to have to keep scoring a lot of points to keep bringing in the W's.
The Tide improved to 5-0 and 2-0 in conference play, with Ole Miss dropping to 2-3 and 1-1 in the conference. Up next for Alabama is a bye week before taking on Texas A&M in College Station. Obviously, we'll be previewing extensively Texas A&M next week, but give us a little bit of preview of what to expect against them.
Well, first of all, just expect a hostile environment. Kyle Field is a very dangerous place to play. Matter of fact, the last time we played there, we had a relatively difficult time, and we won, but it wasn't all that sexy, but we managed to win. But that place is very loud, very large capacity of fans are going to be there. And I honestly believe Texas A&M is going to play the best game of the season. And for Alabama, this is going to probably be the best quarterback that we've played thus far in Kellen Mond, a guy that's a much better passer than what we've seen so far, and definitely a much better runner. Great dual-threat quarterback. So Alabama and this young defense is going to have their work cut out for them.
Now, Auburn did beat Texas A&M in College Station. Do you feel a little bit of relief that, okay, if they could beat them, we could beat them?
Not necessarily. I mean, you got two different teams, two different playing styles on both sides of the ball. Now, Texas A&M was able to rally late and cut the margin to where they could conceivably, come back and won. But again, Auburn, if you're using them as a measuring stick, whether they're thinking they're good or worse, then you really can't judge that. And it's kind of unfair. But Auburn right now, for the most part, is really playing very well. They're showing that they're a very good team. And this Saturday, of course, we'll get to this part later in the show. This is a show me game, not only for Auburn, but for Florida. But for right now, I mean, week after week, Auburn's been an improving team, and they're becoming more balanced and more dangerous. So what does that mean? Don't know yet. We're about to find out, though.
Texas A&M also lost against Clemson 24-10. Auburn beat Texas A&M only by 8 points, a touchdown and two extra points. So we'll see what this Texas A&M is all about. I really do think Alabama is pretty strong. But we'll preview the show next week. We'll actually preview the game next week and more, in a more extensive. The Texas A&M, where Alabama has struggled before, but I think this year's Texas A&M is not as strong as the previous years. Steve Young, Hall of Famer Steve Young, who played for the 49ers. He is also a another left-handed quarterback. He appeared on NFL's ESPN's podcast with Adam Schefter, and he says that he really loves Tagovailoa. He prays on Tagovailoa, a player he expects to have a long career at the next level. He said, from the moment he stepped in the field, you recall, it was dramatic, Young said. Some of the most dramatic stuff I've ever seen. He showed up in that game, putting balls so that it's throwing people open. There's just a natural thing. What are your thoughts about his opinion over Tua?
Well, I think he's absolutely right. I think that Steve Young can say these things, you know, first of all, because he is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a guy that has just had an amazing career, who had an amazing career, Hall of Fame career, won Super Bowl. And he definitely is a guy that you can trust the opinion of. And also, too, I think Steve really likes him, too, because they have similar playing styles. Although I think Tua Tagovailoa is a little bit more flashy, a little bit more explosive. But, you know, he's a lefty, so, you know, they're both in the lefty club. So I think that, you know, just having that those similarities just, you know, really amplified his belief. But of course, you know, someone like Steve Young is not just going to make a statement just for the heck of it. He's very true. Tua Tagovailoa is a very dynamic, very explosive player. Yes, he is a guy that can throw wide receivers open. He's a guy who can extend the game. He's a guy that brings that wow factor, you know, to every play. Every play is a potential touchdown. Every play is a potential big game. So he definitely has the potential to be something very special, not only as he closes out his college career, but maybe in the NFL. But the high praise, and you know, I think it's definitely warranted. But, you know, we still have a lot more in the Tagovailoa story to see play out.
And he did also mention the Herbert, Justin Herbert. He went to the Stanford-Oregon game, and he was impressed with Herbert, but he was just singing praises with Tagovailoa the whole podcast.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Justin Herbert is a very good player, a guy that's going to be selected in the top five. Let's just go ahead and say the top three, possibly number one. But... you know,
you honestly don't believe that. I mean, probably Tua would be number one.
Oh yeah, either one, man. Is there a spot one through three? Does it really matter who goes where, man? They're both going to be going into a pretty incredible position where they have a chance to lead a franchise themselves, be the face of the organization, but also receive a pretty hefty payday. So there is no lose-lose situation. And whether or not Tua goes one, two, or three, I'm still proud of him, and I'm going to cheer for whatever team he lands on.
You don't think these players really think about what placement or, you know, what place they'll be drafted? You don't think, oh, they all go for number one?
Well, I think to a degree. I honestly feel that some players really have a preference of where they'd like to go based on team and also based on that team's situation. I think that they also – you know, from a money standpoint, you're looking at, you know, dollar differences depending on where you land. So I think it comes into play, but I think the biggest motivation is for them is to just, you know, get to the league, realize their dream, and have the opportunity to possibly become one of the greatest the game has seen.
Obviously, people are saying Cincinnati or Miami, so it's we'll see what happens in the next couple of months. Florida Auburn, the biggest game, the most standout game this weekend. You know, Auburn, obviously, everyone's talking about them. Are they good enough? Can they beat Florida in Florida? Florida is also undefeated. Auburn is at a high pace right now, seventh place seed, and Florida is at the 10th spot in the AP poll. Justin, how significant is this game, and can we see if Auburn, you know, like their true colors will stand out? Justin Riley. Justin Riley, we cannot hear Justin Riley, guys. I don't know if he disappeared.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. So
I accidentally pushed mute somehow. But what I was saying, brother, like I mentioned earlier, this is kind of a show-me game for both teams just to kind of see which team is for real. But then again, you know, they really don't have to show that this particular game because the loser of this game is still in prime position to get to their conference championship and also possibly a playoff spot. So there's really not a whole lot to lose, but it definitely puts the winner in a much better position. So, and it's definitely the marquee game of the weekend. So, it's going to be one to watch. But it's very pivotal. But again, like I said, loser doesn't. Well, you can't really say loser, but the one who ends up falling short still has a lot to play for, especially because of their schedule. You know, their schedule is going to allow them. You know, if they continue to win and win out, to get right back into the thick of things. So. You know, there's really not a whole lot of desperation there.
Yeah, obviously, you know, if anyone loses, I don't think they'll drop too much in the AP poll. But, of course, you will say, well, AP poll doesn't mean anything until the playoff poll comes up. But I think Alabama will definitely be eyeing this game because, obviously, they'll play Auburn later on. They will not be playing Florida, thankfully for them. But I'm really curious what's going to happen because, obviously, Auburn has won tough games on the road. There's been debate that maybe Auburn could be in the top four.
Well, quite possibly, but I still think, you know, it's wait and see. We really haven't seen what the true Auburn is just yet. And this game may be a game that kind of helps us see the picture a little bit more clearly. But, you know, they still got some big games ahead. You know, they still got to play LSU, you know, after Florida, and they still got to play Alabama. So, Auburn does have a chance to really show their stripes.
I do think Auburn is the strongest of the two, but obviously, you know, when they're playing away at Florida, it kind of even things out. How about the what do you think about Florida's quarterback Trask? You think he's the real deal?
Well, I don't know so much if he's the real deal yet, but I have felt like the offense tends to move or function a little bit better. With him calling the shots as opposed to Felipe Franks, I think it's putting them in a lot better position to win. And I just feel like it's a different Florida offense with him leading the way. And he's starting to find some weapons too. You know, they've had to make a major adjustment here since dynamic wide receiver Kadarius Toney was out early on due to a shoulder injury. He's had some good contributions from Van Jefferson, who's averaged 13.8 yards per catch, and Trevon Grimes has averaged 15.4 yards per catch. But he really has found a very good pass catcher and his tight end, Kyle Pitts. This guy's 6'4", 6'5", 245 pounds, and can run a 4.6, which poses as a matchup nightmare for linebackers and anyone who will come across his path. But they're going to rely heavily on Trask just because they're not really able to get things going in the run game, and that's largely due to the fact that their offensive line is still struggling.
If you were Mullen, would you have preferred Felipe Franks to play in this game instead of Trask?
You know, if I'm Mullen, you know, I'm going with the guy that I feel like he's going to get the best production out of the offense. So I don't really know if you can say that's Felipe or if you can say that that's Trask. But I feel like Trask is getting better each game, where when we saw Franks, there was some regression or more of remaining the same. So I think that he may be a little bit more comfortable right now with Trask and how the offense and the players are responding to him.
You're right about that. Trask, there is some momentum there. How about Bo Nix, Auburn's quarterback, freshman, young? How much confidence do you have in him?
Well, you know, not a whole lot yet. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. You know, one of the biggest takeaways for me, you know, leading into this game is how is Bo Nix going to do against this very talented Florida secondary? Bo Nix played his best game last week, accounting for 391 yards. 335 of those were passing, and he had three touchdowns. But interestingly enough, against the previous two games against Power 5 opponents, he struggled pretty heavily. He's completed under 50% of his passes and only averaged 5.43 yards per attempt. That's just not very good. But he is seemingly maturing, though. He's starting to show a little bit of arm strength, like he did against that deep ball to Anthony Schwartz that was connected. Good arm strength, good touch. So he's starting to get a little bit better, and he's got some good weapons around him. Like I said, Anthony Schwartz, and then another big play capable wide receiver in Seth Williams. If he can really get them going, they have an opportunity to be very explosive and could definitely help elevate Nix's game. The good thing for him is here until Florida, you know, he's had very good protection in the pocket. But here's the downside of that. The Auburn offensive line has not really faced a pass rush like he's going to be going against with Florida. And coincidentally, Florida leads the nation right now in sacks as well as tackles for loss. So they got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, this game is a little bit more even than I thought. I believe Auburn's coach had a little bit more pressure to win this game because I heard his job is on the line.
Well, there's been rumblings of that, you know, the past, you know, two or three seasons. And Auburn fans are, you know, they're used to seeing the good starts, you know, the 5-0 starts, only to see the second half of the season they come crashing down or they come to just an okay finish. So, you know, where some schools might be okay with that, the Auburn faithful definitely are not. And, you know, when Big Brother down the road in Tuscaloosa is outshining them year after year after year, they're getting a little bit restless. So, you know, this is put up or shut up time for Gus Malzahn. He's really got to show something this year to warrant, you know, that big salary and then keeping him around. So I think his seat is a little warm right now.
Yeah, there was a poll last week on the Sportscast Twitter, and I asked, should Alabama be more worried about LSU or Auburn? Majority said LSU.
You know, right now, because just watching, you know, the eye test says that LSU is the better team. They are the more balanced team. They're whipping people on the ground. They're whipping people definitely through the air right now. So they're multi-dimensional, you know, and LSU's putting up, I think, 60 points or so a game, whereas, you know, Auburn's not doing that. They're winning largely because of the contributions of that talented defense, and their offense isn't quite going yet. They're getting better game after game, but they're definitely not at an output level of an LSU right now. So if you go on it based right now, yes, LSU is the game to be concerned about the most to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them are pretty big games. Obviously, you got to go down to Auburn, and it's just hard to take a win there from the Iron Bowl. But we'll see what happens. Let's look at last weekend's SEC games. Texas A&M beat Arkansas 31-27, small margin. Vanderbilt beat North Illinois 25-18. The Gators
look at Vandy.
Yeah, how about that? Florida defeated Towson 38-0. Auburn defeated Mississippi State 56-23, good margin. And the Gamecocks defeated Kentucky 24-7.
Yeah, finally the Gamecocks seemingly have woken up. It's like when they showed some promise against Alabama, but suffered that loss. It's like they kind of got hit in the gut and didn't quite know how to respond, so it's like they kind of went away into hiding for a little bit, so to speak. But they were able to come out of the hiding space and show up against Kentucky, so it's a positive for them, you know, albeit against Kentucky. But the thing is that they got something going. They come out with a decent win.
And that is your SEC score update. Let's go to the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens lost against the Cleveland Browns 25-40. Baker Mayfield and the Browns posted a signature win against a longtime nemesis. Quite surprising. Lamar Jackson had a good first couple weeks. Cleveland, not so much. What happened?
Man, we just dropped two in a row. That's what happened. very disappointing. You know, I can take the loss to Kansas City. In that loss, it still showed me that Baltimore is a very good team. and that they were very capable of still showing something very special this year. But then the very next week, you know, we go out and we allow Cleveland to win, not only win, but just win very embarrassingly. I was just shocked, and I'm really frustrated the fact that it looks like, you know, yeah, we can seemingly mount comebacks and get back into games. But my question is, you know, why are we waiting until late in the game to check into the game? You can't do that. And Cleveland showed them you definitely can't do that, because they whipped them in the second half. After it looked like they were getting back into it, Cleveland said, nuh-uh, we're finishing this game and we're taking this victory with us. I'm disappointed in that play, because I really felt like Baltimore was progressing, and this really would have been the game to do it.
You think Cleveland are starting to gel?
Seemingly, and to be honest with you, Cleveland really needed this game, because, they started the season with a tremendous hype, and it looked like that they weren't going to live up to it. But they have managed to turn around here, and this really could be a starting point for them to head in the right direction. So this was a much-needed win, especially for confidence going forward. But, yeah, it looks like they're starting to gel, but they really still need to check their diva tendencies at the door and just, you know, start focusing more on football.
Mayfield threw for 342 yards and a touchdown. Nick Chubb ran for a pivotal 88-yard score, and the Browns beat the Ravens 40-25 to earn a share of first place in AFC North. AFC North is pretty tight right now.
It's a very tough division, brother. It's a really good division, the AFC. But, yeah, it's going to be tight. It's tight right now. It's going to be tight throughout the season. So I feel like it's going to be a real battle all throughout. Matter of fact, it's probably going to be the most entertaining of divisions in the NFL this year.
Gardner Minshew, another win in Denver, coming from behind. Is this guy the real deal?
Man, the Minshew. That's what we're watching every week, brother. It seems to me like that he may be the guy. And it looks like newly acquired in the offseason, Nick Foles, may be a bench rider. But, I mean, thus far, Minshew has really shown a lot. Tremendous poise, tremendous character, just able to make good plays, and he doesn't get the Jaguars in trouble. Matter of fact, he puts them in position to win, and that's what he's doing. So I really am impressed with him so far.
James Winston, Buccaneers won in L.A. against the Rams. He had a good game against the Giants but lost. But are we seeing a Winston that'll be a little bit more consistent, or do you think we'll see a blunder again with him?
I'm not going to be expecting a whole lot until I see a pattern established.
I see three in a row or five in a row of wins.
Yeah, I mean, if we see, like you said, we see, you know, three in a row, four in a row, five in a row, not just wins, but just consistently good play where he has elevated his game and shows maturity that he's taking the next step, you know, then we can start having that conversation. But right now, I'm not going to buy into it yet.
Me either. Let's see what happens. Justin, anything else before we head into game predictions?
One interesting game you might want to watch in the college football, not highly publicized. It's an 11 a.m. game. It's going to be LSU against Utah State.
Wow.
It's going to be a pretty good matchup. Utah State's actually one of the better teams in the group of five. And they can score some points. They got good quarterback in Jordan Love. And they might be a little bit of an issue on LSU, who may be sleeping a little bit. I think they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, it'll be 12 p.m. It's not part of the game predictions, but and they're playing LSU. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be a tight one. But
I think LSU is still win, but I think it's going to be a tough one for them.
They're no Citadel, aren't they?
Man, who is?
Poor Citadel. They've been really poked around a lot this past couple weeks.
you love picking on Citadel.
Everyone has their own Citadel. Florida had their Citadel this past weekend. Playing against Towson. So, you know, every big team has their Citadel. So it is what it is.
Right.
Anyways.
It is.
Game prediction, UCF at Cincinnati.
Let's see. I think Cincinnati is very talented, but they're not as talented as UCF. They got a very good quarterback there. And even though they dropped one disappointingly to Pittsburgh, they're still going to finish out strong this year. And I don't foresee them dropping a game in the group of five. So I think UCF's got this.
UCF got this. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech.
I think that Oklahoma State's got this. They'll win big.
Oklahoma State wins big. Texas at West Virginia.
This isn't the West Virginia of last year by any stretch of the imagination. Texas wins handily.
Texas wins. Northwestern at Nebraska.
Well, these are both teams that we kind of expected to make noise in the Big Ten. And after receiving a game day trip last weekend, they're reeling, and they got embarrassed. Nebraska got embarrassed pretty heavily there. So it's kind of a game that's going to really propel the winner to a much better season. And I think the success of their season really depends on this game right now going forward. However, I think right now that Pat Fitzgerald is the X factor, and he's going to lead his Wildcats to a victory.
There you have it. Iowa at Michigan.
Well, Michigan's got a chance to get back into things in the Big Ten. They got a chance to really remove that stain they got on them from Wisconsin. They've got good talent, but the thing is, though, where's their head? I think, honestly, that Iowa, though, is a better team, and they're going to beat Michigan.
The Auburn War Eagles at the Florida Gators in the Swamp.
The Auburn War Eagles at the Florida Gators. Swamp, dangerous place to play, man. One of the best arenas in college football. Not only the SEC. But, you know, it's really going to – this game's going to come down to a couple of things. Like I said earlier, how is Bo Nix going to be able to play against that really good secondary? That secondary has those wide receivers of theirs tied up. You know, it's going to be nasty because, you know, up front, man, they can wreak some havoc. And like I said, they're leading the nation in sacks right now. So they can make life really hellacious for old Bo Nix. But then again, too, Auburn's got a pretty stout defense, too. You know, and Derrick Brown and Tyrone Truesdale up front, monsters, brother. And what is Florida struggling with the most right now? Offensive line. So they're going to have a hard time trying to block those guys and keeping them out of the hair of one Kyle Trask. I don't foresee them being able to run against them. It's really going to come down who's going to make the fewest mistakes. So with that being said, I'm going to go. And this is really hard, actually.
It's a tough one. This is very even.
It is for the most part.
It is, but it isn't.
But you kind of got to go, I guess. You can't go with experience at quarterback because both of them are relatively, you know, green, with the exception of Trask. But he's relatively green because, you know, he took over starting duties 3 weeks ago.
But keep in mind, Auburn is no Miami either.
God, no. Well, I may change my mind several times before the game starts, but if I'm forced to pick right now,
this is the
I'm
final score.
Go Auburn Tigers.
Auburn Tigers, yeah. That's a good pick. That's a safe pick.
I feel like, but it's going to be a low scoring affair. I feel like it's going to be Auburn 21, Florida 17.
And from Vegas, they're having Florida win by 3. So,
ooh.
I don't know what to say about that. Anyways. NFL.
I think they're giving Florida. They're giving Florida the edge just because of Bo Nix being a freshman who really hasn't shown a whole lot this year yet. You know, up until Mississippi State game, he's only passing for an average of 200 yards a game. And, you know, like I said, he hasn't faced a talented secondary like that. So right there, Florida's got a huge edge over him. So Vegas is probably leaning on that.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Baltimore rebounds, takes down their division rival Steelers.
Green Bay Packers.
And Humphrey doesn't choke anybody this week.
Green Bay at the Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium.
Cowboys rebound and take the victory over the Packers.
And Thursday Night Football tonight, the Rams at the Seahawks.
I'm going Seahawks.
Seahawks wins. And question of the day, who is your favorite Joker? Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jerry Leto, or Joaquin Phoenix?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't seen Jared Leto's interpretation of the character yet. I hadn't seen Suicide Squad yet, but I need to just to
don't worry, he's not that good.
Him, I wouldn't doubt, because he's got some stellar competition to go against. But you know, each Joker played by each actor has a different persona, different style. But I would have to say, you know, it has to be Heath Ledger's. He had the most commanding performance, won him an Oscar before he passed. That was just an amazing Joker portrayal. So I'm going with Heath Ledger's Joker.
You think Joaquin Phoenix could top him, or maybe, you know, meet up to his standards?
I don't know if he could top him. I think that he can create another iconic Joker portrayal. I mean, he certainly has the talent to do it. He's one of the best in Hollywood. So I'm anxious to see what he's going to be able to do, because this is going to be a different Joker unlike we've seen thus far.
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is like Florida, and Heath Ledger is like Auburn, pretty much.
I love how you've created this metaphor here. Nice.
It's going to be a good one. But will you be watching the movie?
At some point, I plan to, yes.
Not this weekend, though.
No.
There you go.
Too much good football.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some football. Maybe next week. It feels like everyone's going to watch it this weekend. Anyways, Justin, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Bo Nix?
Bo Nix. Well, I don't want to talk about an Auburn guy. No, I'm just playing.
Or Utah State.
Or Utah State. Even better. You can find me on Twitter. My personal handle, at 121 Training. That's number 12, one spelled out, training. Same on Instagram. But you can also find me majority of the time running our sportscast handles on both Twitter and Instagram. That's at the sportscast one. So it's not too hard to start up a conversation with me somewhere.
Obviously, we don't know if Ryan Christa will cover the game, but if he doesn't, can you cover the Florida and Auburn game?
I'll try to step in, even though I'm covering a game against my mortal enemy in Auburn, and then also trying to cover a game with the favorite team of one of our contributors here. But if need be, I'll step up to the plate.
No pressure. Obviously, Ryan has only covered one game. I think it was a college basketball game back in March. So I don't have high expectations. But who knows? He might come through and cover the game. But, you know, if it comes from you, it's a very unbiased, very fair-minded person.
Not quite possibly, man. Even though my love for the Western Division, the SEC, is a little bit bigger than the love of the East.
The East.
But, yeah, it'd be unbiased for the most part, though.
You know, the last time Alabama went to Florida was in 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
December 3rd, 2016, they beat them 54-16. That's a wide margin.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It's quite spectacular, actually.
Who played on that team? Oh, Jalen Hurts was in that team. Interesting. And Bo Scarborough. And Calvin Ridley. O.J. Howard.
Man, NFL right there in front of
you. That's an NFL right there. Anyways, you can reach us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We're previewing games, putting predictions out, what are your thoughts and everything. And we'll be covering the games this weekend. Major League Baseball playoffs began this week. We'll have Kyle Borden tomorrow to give us a baseball update and also a Big 12 update. And we'll be covering the NFL as well on Sunday, a few games. Really excited about the sportscast. A lot of things going on, but college football just remains to be in the news, and even they want to play their pay their players. Anyways,
oh Lord,
Justin Riley,
another cast.
Yeah, it's another cast, but maybe that's beyond our pay grade. Anyways, Justin
maybe,
Riley,
maybe beyond theirs. I mean, they might be getting paid more than we are.
You never know. Anyways, have a good night and
good,
War Eagle.
All right, man.